If you have your Bibles, turn with me right after the book of Judges. We're going to begin reading with the sixth verse in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. Today we are thinking within the context of the theme of Mother's Day, and this story of a mother-in-law with her daughter-in-law is a story I think that's appropriate for us to focus on. So let's begin reading with Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Listen carefully to what God says. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they are grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened after they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" So she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. May God add his blessing to this, the reading and hearing of his own holy and infallible word. Amen. Before we begin looking at the theme of the book of Ruth, I want to get something out of the way that actually has nothing to do with Mother's Day. So I wanted to do it first. I happen to teach a course down the street at Beeson Divinity School, and the class is large. I don't take a roll, but I have students sign the roll. And so as they'll start signing the roll for that day, then they have a little topic that they will include and respond to for that day, and then the topic this student takes and puts on the internet, and he lets preachers from all over vote on the worst things or the best things that are said by these students. Well, the topic several weeks ago that this very creative student said, wrote down, is this: the top worst things to say from the pulpit. Okay? I'm starting at the bottom of the list going up. There's some things that are so bad, I would not say them from the pulpit, not even now. But the one that he put that's not so bad is number 8. And that is the top worst things to say from the pulpit. Number 8. Today is a good day to die. Don't say that from the pulpit. Okay, number 7. Do you mind if I smoke while I preach? Oh, that's a good one. Okay. I told you these were good. Okay, here's another one. I'm skipping one that I don't want to read. It says, now my wife is an expert at this sin. I'm skipping another one. Quote, as long as I've been a pastor, I've never missed a meal, and as you can see by my wife, she hasn't either. And then this is the one that the preachers on the internet voted for as the absolute worst thing to say from the pulpit. When I was a woman. The book of Ruth is a book that is an extraordinary book, because it is about a mother and a daughter or a daughter-in-law. There are probably two topics that any minister could stand up, preach on, and make everybody feel guilty about. The top topic is on prayer. Announce you're going to preach on prayer, and most people are going to feel guilty. I would myself. On the other hand, the second topic is on motherhood. And so it isn't our purpose to make anybody feel guilty, but to honor and to recognize the contribution of those ladies who indeed are mothers. And I trust that what we're going to be saying today would also have a broader applicability to any woman, but also to men, to children, to all of us. What we see here in the book of Ruth first is that a pressing decision was facing this family as it faces every family. You know, the book of Ruth is an extraordinary book. One writer said that it is the most perfect story ever written. It is interesting that God is not only the God who inspired the Bible as the Word of God, being authoritative and verbally inerrant, but that He also is a good writer, so that He used the skills of just good literature and put together this story, which has just about everything in it. I mean, it is romance, it is comedy, it is tragedy, it is a simple story. It is about separation, it is about grieving, it's about death, it's about birth, it's about love, it's about loyalty. It covers almost the whole gamut of life as it is. Most importantly, it presents this pressing decision for every family and indeed for every individual. There was a famine in the land of Israel, and Naomi and her husband moved to Moab in order to provide for their family. And while they were there, something happened with Naomi that was earth-shattering. Her husband died, and then her oldest son died, and then her young son died as well. These men had married more Moabite women, and the two Moabite women were Orpah and Ruth. And here we have Ruth, who after the death of all of the men in their lives, Ruth decided to go back to Bethlehem. And in her arguments to her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, she had several arguments that we read about. One was, it's time for you to go back to your own home and to your own mothers. Another one was, I have no more sons that I can give you, and I'm not of a marital age anymore, and I can't bear children. Even if I were married and I bore a son, would you wait for the next several years until this son was old enough? Because in the Old Testament, the brother took on the duty of the deceased and became the marital partner of the widow. Would you wait? Well, at that then, Orpah decided to go back to Moab, whereas Ruth said these famous words that we hear so often at a wedding. And that is, whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Here we have the response of two different girls. The interesting thing is, they were raised in the same family. They had the same circumstances, the same opportunities, and yet their choices were very, very different. Orpah, on the one hand, rejected. Ruth, on the other hand, left. And Ruth's response is the response of a loyal child and person. There is no love that is demonstrated so clearly as love that is loyal to the person or object. And it really makes me think of the cross of Jesus Christ. Has there ever been such love as and loyalty demonstrated in such large print, as it were, than at the cross of Jesus Christ? It was love writ large. I love you. One preacher several years ago said that he wished that he were a Roman Catholic, because he would take the crucifix and he would hold it up in his pulpit and he would say, God loves like this. That is loyalty. Well, what I think is that this decision that Ruth made, if we could transpose that decision into the New Testament, we have what we would call her conversion. She was converted, as it were, as a believer to Christ. She became a Christian. She became a believer by making the right choice. There were these two women with two different responses, and one experienced the expulsive power of a new affection. By expulsive, I mean the ability to remove everything else, because there is one affection that reached out and it grabbed her attention more than anything else, and that is what she chose, the expulsive power of a new affection. That is what Thomas Chalmers called it several years ago, a great Scottish preacher, as he reflected on the power of faith and belief and what is going to change a person. And part of that change in this story was due to the model of a parent, a mother. You know, our hearts will always be affectionate to something. You are attached to something. I don't know what it is, but it's there. And it is our affection that drives the system. What do I mean? I mean our emotions, our desires, our inner will. We can address the mind of somebody, as is occasionally I have to do in a counseling ministry. We can talk about cognitive processing and decide, and you can think about certain things, but no change will take place. You can even will to do what is good and right, but there's no change that may take place in your heart. So that when God, the Holy Spirit, reaches down to change a person, how does He change that person? He changes that person by coming into the heart, addressing the emotions, and He changes them at the core. Because what will drive the system is the heart and your affection. To what are you affected this morning? Because there's something that we're all affectionate toward, that we're all connected to. It may be our fun, it may be our work, it may be our money, it may be our possessions. There is something that drives every one of us. And here these two girls, Orpah and Ruth, show us the difference. One who is moved by a new affection. Because when you're moved by your affection, you will be changed and you will never be the same person thereafter. These two girls are symbols of choices that we make, symbols of Christians. Symbols of, perhaps more accurately, a believer and a non-believer. They are symbols, on the one hand, Orpah, who chooses to go back to Moab, and Ruth, who chooses to go to Bethlehem. And I think maybe there are Christians like that, too. So see, Moab represented Chemosh, the god that they worshipped. He was a god of fertility. It was a sex cult. Not only that, but they offered their children to be burned in fire. And here is Ruth, who chooses not to go back to Moab, but chooses Bethlehem. And I'm afraid that sometimes we ourselves get stuck in Moab as Christians. That somehow our affections become so enamored by the things that we see and we taste and we feel and we hear. And Moab looks good, and it smells good, and it tastes good. But it's Moab nonetheless, and it's not Bethlehem. And so Ruth returns to Bethlehem with Naomi. And Naomi, I mean, the surprising thing is that they go back to this place where famine was. They were so discouraged, and Naomi said, "Call me Mara, bitter. Don't call me pleasant, because God's hand has weighed heavily on me." And the amazing thing in their return, because you know the rest of the story, that God is so full of surprises that you never know what to expect when you make a decision. It may be hard. It may be different. It may be uncomfortable. But the decision to do what is right because your affection has been changed. And here were these two women who chose. And Ruth experienced this expulsive power of a new affection because, in part, she was taught by a loving believer, parent, mother, mother-in-law. She was a great woman, I think, of Ruth. Obviously, the Bible thinks so. God thought so because He put her in the Bible as a special story. The interesting thing is that she was a Moabite, but do you know that she became the great, great, great grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ? A Moabite woman, not Israelite. But it was faith that makes the difference, not your gender, not your race, not your origin, but it is faith that makes us the children of God. And here was Ruth, a great woman. God put her in the Bible. It reminded me, as I thought about this story, of a bulletin. That is a church bulletin that I found several years ago that I thought was just outstanding. I know that you can't see this very well, but it's a mother who is seated in a rocking chair on the front porch of her home, and she's holding a child, a little boy who's holding something up. And then the text says this. It says, Matthew 5:19, whoever teaches them shall be called great. The Lord Jesus. Whoever teaches them shall be called great. Whoever can teach them to have a new affection to drive their lives and their system shall be called great. And here is Ruth and Naomi, who was a great woman simply because she taught. You see, the influences of the world, the power of the world is not Washington, D.C. It is not Moscow. It is not in places where decisions are made in legislatures. This is the power that will change the world. This is our value system. This is where men and women learn. This is where their values are shaped. This is what will change a person and change him from the inside out. Naomi was a great woman because she was used to give somebody a new affection. And that affection was in the gospel, as it were, of Christ. I think about other great women, and I would be remiss not to mention at least one from my own personal experience. I could talk about my wife, Emily, but I learned a long time ago that Emily doesn't want me to talk about her from the pulpit. Even though she's a great mother. And so I want to tell you about one who has gone with the Lord, and that is my grandmother. If you will indulge me and allow me to say, here was a great woman. She was perhaps the kindest woman in the face of adversity and hardship that I think that I have ever known. Her husband, my grandfather, died. Grandmother came to live with us. I was a hellraiser when I was an adolescent, okay? And she often bore the brunt of all that hellraising. And there we were. I asked some mothers that I saw this week to write out for me what they considered the most important characteristics of motherhood. I mean, if you have some, I would appreciate of getting yours as well. This is what some of them wrote. Trustworthy, unconditional love, listening, humor, confidence, warm companions. All of those things. And I think that pretty much describes my grandmother. I lived a different life, and I came in one time, and there is an image that is indelibly imprinted on my mind that I will never forget, and I pray God I will never forget, and that is a scene of grandmother sitting on the front porch reading her Bible. She never preached to me, but she shook me. She made me question what I was and who I was. Until God changed me. And I made a new choice, and that choice was experienced an expulsive power of a new affection that ran into the system. And that God changed from the inside out. Now that is power. And that is powerful, great motherhood as well. And so we honor those who are mothers, recognizing those who have been such warm, affectionate, unconditional love, trustworthy listeners, all of the things that we value and desire. So they've been. And we do salute you and we honor you and we thank God for you. When R.A. Torrey left home, he was a young man and he wasn't a Christian. And his mother said to him, "Remember your mother's God." And so R.A. Torrey went off and he began to live a life of indulgence. And then things began to go bad. And there was one day that he woke up and he remembered that one phrase, "Remember your mother's God." R.A. Torrey was converted. He became a minister of the gospel, and literally thousands upon thousands and thousands have come to Christ as a result of his ministry. His books are still read today because of a mother's word. Remember your mother's God. So may we remember our mother's God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father, the God who has revealed himself in the face of Jesus Christ. That will give you a new affection and it will change you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for those whom we do celebrate today, and we do honor our mothers. We do thank you for the lessons we've learned of faith into trials and coming through conflicts. And we learn this lesson of faith as well, and that is to trust in that God who has revealed himself in the face of Jesus Christ. Because through the gift of his Holy Spirit, we experience a new affection. And may our affections rest in that gospel in Bethlehem and not in Moab. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me now to hymn number 406, "My Hope is in the Lord," number 406.